All right. We are still in the Sermon of the Mount. We've been going little by little, and it's a rich study. It is just, these are the words of Christ. He is sitting in a public open space on the side of a mount, and he's speaking to his disciples. There are others that are coming in and listening also. The words have been recorded for us in Matthew, and also there we find them in Luke, and we find them all throughout the different Gospels, and then the truths of them throughout all of the New Testament and also the Old Testament. Jesus is what the greatest sermon ever given is how many would title this, and last week we started in the parable, "You are the salt of the earth," remember? And we talked about that, and we looked at it being our character, and we looked at many different things. And today we continue in that parable where it was talking about, "You are the light of the world." What a great compliment that Jesus would give his followers, but at the same time, what a huge responsibility. And so before we get into the passage, let's go ahead and let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see, a mind to know and a heart to understand and obey all that you have for us, Lord, today through this passage and whatever else, Lord, you would lay on our heart. May you be glorified as we study together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So reading Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," talking to his disciples, talking to people who believe in him. "You are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So here again we see Jesus says, he's talking to him. He says, "You are the light of the world." And we know from things that we've read in John 8 and John 9, John 1, and that Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of men. He is our life, and through that. And so here Jesus is talking to his disciples, his pupils, the people that he is teaching, and he is associating with them in such a way, saying, "Hey, you're like me." He's identifying with them, not that they are a Christ, but as we'll study here in just a minute, through the work and through the redemption, through the grace of God, and whenever they focus on him and what we know through the other teachings of Christ, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we are like Christ as he reflects in us. And we're going to look at that. But what we're going to end up with, and our big idea is much like this, but we'll look at that later. But whatever the light is, whatever the light is and does, the believer is to be and to do. That's what we're looking at today. So first, the light, when it's talking about the light, is referring to our character. Last week, we looked at the salt, and we looked at how it was our character. And Jesus, in this parable, he is saying, "You are the light," and it's referring to the disciples' character. What does that mean? It means that we are like Christ, that we have come into a place of transformation, that we have been born again, and that we are reflecting the light of Christ. Let's read in John 1. I just referenced that. Let's read in John 1 and find out some more information straight from the Word of God. In John 1, it'll be up on the board, or you can join me there. In John 1, we're going to read verses 4 and 5, and then we're going to go down and read 9 through 13. A very popular passage, a very familiar passage is what I should have said. But in verse 4, it says, "In him," talking about Jesus, "in Jesus was life," or we could say is life, but it reads, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And moving down to verse 9, we're only skipping the part because it's about John the Baptist, and just not in this context of what we're studying right now. "There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Speaking of the Jews. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So we see the coming of Christ, the light of men that Jesus sent, or that God sent through his grace, that there has been an enlightenment through the coming of Christ. And then there is a transformation that comes through receiving him. Whoever, the word that we just read says, whoever received him, that means that they have believed in him, have submitted to his lordship, and has come to him in a place of faith. Referred to us that we are like children, that we've been adopted like children, and that we have been born again, that we are new creations in Christ. Oh, the light is our character. The light is who we are, not by our own will, we just read. Not that we just woke up one day and said, hey, I think I'm going to live like Jesus. No, it's a transformation that God comes and however he works in our life through our mind in whatever situation, and he opens up our eyes and reveals to us the light of men. Reveals to us the truth of Jesus Christ, and we come to a place of faith. He changes us. And we become the light, as Jesus was talking about here. We reflect the light of Jesus. I want to read some more about talking about light in our character from Ephesians 5. From Ephesians 5. Well, this is rich here. It's good. In Ephesians 5, I'm going to read verses 8 through 14. And where the whole context of this is being imitators of God, or that is a subheading that I'm reading here, where Paul is speaking to the church. He says, for you were formerly darkness. Wow. We, all of us, we were formerly darkness. There was a time that we were sinners. We had yet to come to a place where we had submitted to the lordship of Christ, that we had come to a place of salvation, and that is what he's talking about here. For you were formerly darkness. But it says, but now you are light in the Lord. And then it gives us some instructions. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in any of the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that has becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Oh, we were once in the darkness. We were once lost in Christ, and through God's grace, he has become the light, and we are, it even said, children of the light there. I know I'm looking at a lot of scripture here, but that's why we're here, to look at scripture and not to hear from me. And let's read from Philippians now. And that'll literally my Bible might be different than yours, but about two or three pages over, maybe four, depending on what time zone you're in, right? And Philippians 4, let's look at Philippians 2. And we're going to start in verse 14 and go through 16. So that's Philippians 2, 14 through 16. And he writes here, again, the whole context of this is be like Jesus Christ. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear, listen to this, among whom you, talking to the church, talking to believers, talking to those of faith, talking about how we contrast with this perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, Paul said, I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. So here in these passages that we just read, it talks about having a good attitude. Oh, not just in the church house, but in all aspects of our life. It tells us to live rightly. And it told us to, and it gives us a way to do that, to hold fast to the word of truth. It's talking about Scripture. That's how we live. That's how we become children of the light through faith. And then we're growing. We've never arrived. As soon as you have arrived, you've come to a place of staleness and may even be getting a little dim. But it's a place of seeking Him and growing in Him and holding fast and words that we read, we literally said walk. That means to live in goodness and righteousness and truth. How do we know goodness and righteousness and truth without holding fast to the Word of God? And then it says learning what is pleasing. Oh, being a disciple, the whole word means to be a pupil, to be a learner, to be those that learn from prayer. Oh, God, open up my heart and my mind to teach me the things you want me to learn today. People who seek God through His word, those who come and we gather in meetings like this, in meetings like we'll have on Tuesday morning and on Thursday afternoon and Thursday evening. With the ladies, where in our private meetings where we share about, let me tell you about my devotion. Let me share with the Word of God what He's put on my heart today. And He's put on my heart to share it with you for whatever reason. And we begin to share those things and we learn and we grow. And then when we obey those things and we apply those things, we grow in the light. We continue in the light of Jesus Christ. Oh, if we were a round table type of service that we're talking about starting at some point, I would say, well, let's talk about what the light does. But since we don't have that, the light penetrates. It enlightens. It reveals. It guides. It removes darkness. I mean, just removing darkness, that is a good thing. I mean, the light, I mean, just taken out of a spiritual sense that we're talking about, just talking about light. I mean, if you're in a dark place and just having a little bit of light helps. The other morning, I got up and I re-injured my back a little recently, and I got up in the morning the stiff, and I'm stretching. I'm stretching in the dark, and it's so dark, I can't touch my toes when I'm stretching, so I can't find my feet. It's so dark. And just turning on a little bit of light, it brought comfort. It gave me guidance, gave me direction, and that was just physically in just a simple, ridiculous little situation there. But the reality is true that the light of God, it removes darkness and it brings peace. It routs chaos. It warns us and it protects us. The light is good. Light is good, and when we look at it from a spiritual sense and from a biblical sense, oh, it changes us. It is our character. It is Christ in us, reflected through us, through those who believe in Him and have submitted to His Lordship. But we also know when we look at this passage back in Matthew 5, that it says, it talks about we are the light of the world. Well, the world, much like we studied last week, the world is our place to shine. Last week it says you're the salt of the earth, but we are the light of the world. And you know, many of you have heard about Mike MacArthur. He doesn't go here, but he has helped us in many ways. He's helped us get our logo about 4 years ago when we had a new beginning, and he's helped us with the internet or setting up our website several years ago and getting Facebook and just a lot of different things that Mike's been very helpful in over the years. He's a gentleman that does this for a living, and he does it pro bono for three different organizations, and we just happen to be one of them. And so, but we're not here to celebrate Mike, but to bring in, there was several years ago, I wanted to create an animated video. And if you could just picture this, that when we came to gather and, you know, the countdown goes down, then the animated video would play. And if you can see our community from like a satellite view, and so you see our church like right in the middle, and then kind of a, you know, the green and just the areas of our community. That whenever it started, I would have lights. Just little, if you can imagine, little beads of light. The beads of light represented you. And the beads of light that they would all just make their way into the church house. And then when the church house, and then it would just glow, and then maybe shoot a light into heaven or whatever, a light from heaven shoot into us, or just something that was just revealing because at that time I was really tackling the idea of that, you know, we had a thing going on about this is the Lord's house and we couldn't do this. People wouldn't even step on the stairs because they're like the altar, and it was just kind of crazy. And so we're really combating this Old Testament theology that didn't apply here. And so we are the lights. And so that showed that we were the lights that would come here. And then boom, we'd go into our welcome song, and then when we would leave, then we would see that light would go out. And you, again, represented by the little lights, would just scatter throughout the community, whether it be going over to Lillian or to the Key or to Orange Beach or over to down Gulf Beach Highway towards Warrington and just different places. And then the lights would flicker. And that is the time when your light was shining as you had the opportunity to share the gospel with different peoples. But you, Jesus says, you who believe in him, you who are followers of Christ, Jesus says you are the light of the world. And then he gives us three examples of how we are lights of the world. Again, the world is where we live, where we work, where we play, where we do life. And he gives us three examples back in Matthew 5. And he says, you are a city on a hill. Oh, that is talking about that. I mean, in the world, if we are a light on the city of the hill, the scripture says it can't be hidden. It can't be hidden. If you're up on a hill and the light is shining, the city lights are shining, you cannot be hidden unless you do it purposely. And that is something that we may talk about here in just a moment. But so that's the world. We are the light of the world. Wherever we live, work, and play, we are like a city on a hill, and our light cannot be hidden. And then it says that the other example that we see is that we are like a lamp. Like a lamp. And it literally says, and the lamp is talking about the home. It's talking about in your home. That you are a light not only in the world, we're not a light only when we come and gather in this place, but we are a light in our own home, where the scripture literally says that it gives light, that the light of Christ is just like a light that we put up on a stand so everybody can see. It says gives light to everyone in the house. Oh, friend, out of all the different things here, letting our light shine, these things both are important. But I tell you, if we want to change society, let's begin living according to the light of Christ in our homes. Men, how is your light shining in your home? When's the last time you looked at your Bible? When's the last time you prayed with your wife? When's the last time you prayed with your children? When's the last time that you said you're sorry or that you repented for doing something wrong? And it happens. It's a reality. Women, wives, moms, when's the last time, what's the light that you have? Again, this has been a theme for the last couple of weeks. How does our light shine? Does it shine the same way at home that it does shine when we gather in this place together? Oh, it's got to shine in the home. It shines in the world. And then the other example we saw, it shines before men through your good works. Through our deeds, through the way we live, through our actions, not to glorify us, but it says, so they will see them and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Oh, the world, it's our place to shine, and we should be shining in our home. We should be shining in the places that we live, work, and play, and we should be shining through our actions and our deeds before people. I want to read from Acts 13. It'll be up on the board. You write it down, Acts 13, verse 47, or turn there quickly if you are good like that. But here Paul is given a scripture. He's quoting a scripture out of Isaiah 42, but speaking to the church here, he says, "For so the Lord has commanded us, for the Lord has commanded us." And this is where he quotes the scripture. "I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth." Man, that's pretty intense. Again, "I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. That is the importance of the light that we shine. It is through Christ. When you look at Isaiah 42, it is a messianic prophecy, and it's talking about Christ, that he is the light of men, that he's coming to bring salvation, that he's being placed as a light, that he will bring salvation. And now he who is the light is saying to believers and to disciples, you are the light of the world. You are who I'm going to do my work through. You are going to reflect me when you live rightly. Oh, again, with the people of God. And we see this from all the way from the Old Testament through the New Testament, and it's still true today that the people of God they bring salvation to the world. Not through our own strength, not through our own will, we just read that, but through the fullness of the Holy Spirit and through Christ in us. And so we've looked at the different words of this. The next is to shine. To shine is our witness and our mission. What do we see going back to Matthew 5 here? We see that the light, again, that which shines in us, the Holy Spirit, the truth of Christ, our righteousness, our works, however we can define that, Christ, it is not to be hidden. It's our witness. It is our mission. It is not to be hidden. And we also read that it's not to be under a basket. So to state that suggests that a believer can do that, that a believer can refuse to let their light shine. A believer can somehow turn it off or hide it, that a believer somehow can dim it or shade it or maybe even redirect it. Oh, may we not, believers, again, we're to get our light to shine and to not let our light shine when it says you are the light of the world, and for us to refuse to be obedient and shining that light of Christ, friend, that's sin. That's sin. For us to know that what the things that Jesus was and that Jesus is and that Jesus does and knows, and we know that he is salvation, and he says, hey, you are the light of the world, and I give you this responsibility to live as I live and to do as I do, and for us to not do that is a sin, and it's contrary and is opposite of what Jesus Christ is teaching here today. Again, let's go back to it in our homes. For us not to live in a way that shines Jesus Christ in our homes is detrimental to our society. And I firmly believe, and you've heard me on this, I don't mean to be on a soapbox, I mean to just tackle a truth that's in our culture, that the powerlessness that we find through believers, that the powerlessness that we can say, hey, this is how the church and why the church has lost it, I believe because our light does not shine in the home. It doesn't. Oh, we got to be people who shine the light of Jesus Christ in our marriages, in our families. And before we can even do all this outside stuff. Oh, we do this outside stuff and then we leave that other alone. Oh, man. Oh, the foundation is weak. And again, and it talked about too, about that we are to let our light shine. Again, so that people may see our good works. Not, hey, look at what he did. Look what Ron did or Tom did or Brenda did or this or did. No, it is to glorify. We just read right in verse 14, verse 16, it says that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Oh, the work that you're doing today, are you receiving glory for it or is God receiving glory for it? You are the light of the world. But it's not your light that you're shining. We are reflecting that light, the light of Christ. And then, again, I kind of jumped ahead in my notes, but yeah, we're to let our light shine for two reasons, that they may see our good works and be careful in how you do it. We talked about that, and that they may glorify God. And we accomplish this. Friends, we accomplish this when our life and our deeds are so in tune with Jesus Christ. Well, how does that start? We've talked about this before. Good morning, Lord. Here I am in your word. Lord, seek me. Lord, restore me. Lord, this is my life. Lord, this is your day. Lord, lead me, guide me, however God lights us. Again, It starts in the home. It starts where we work, live, and play. But we can be so guilty of it to be secluding it in the church house and before people, world, home, and places of... We literally just read in scriptures, in places of darkness so that the people in the darkness may glorify him. Imagine that. He said, our lights to shine in places of darkness. But as followers of Christ, especially in our culture, we really don't want to go in places of darkness. Places of darkness are uncomfortable. Well, friend, don't go out to a bar today and say, you know, I'm going to go. No, that's not. Now that the Holy Spirit tells you to go do that, I don't think that's really what he tells us to do. But I'm not saying that he won't. But in the darkness, I mean, the place you live, your neighborhood. Your own family. Today, my sons and I were doing a devotion. All the men in my family, my wife and I, we gave all the men and all the women all the same devotion, and we're reading all the same devotion. And so this morning, my boys and I, we read the devotion, and one of the things that we wanted to do at the end of that, that it kind of led us to do, is pray for all the people in our own family that are not saved, to list them, to name them. Oh, we got a huge people just in our own family that aren't saved. We don't have to go to Africa. We don't have to do this. Right here where we live is a good place to start shining our light. In verse, I want to look at 1 Peter 4, verse 11. In the context is here, Peter's talking to the church. And in verse 10, he tells us that we all have received a special gift. Friend, if you're a follower of Christ, if you are a disciple of Christ, if you come to a place of faith in Christ, it says you have been given a special gift of the Holy Spirit. And that gift is to be used in the body of Christ for the purpose of doing his work. That is our strength. That is where our light comes, is from the Holy Spirit in us. You have a special gift. And we've all heard about the rant about this, about 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And that is so true in every organization, whether it be dark or light, Christian or not, whether it be a sports association or be at the church. But friend, you must realize that you, if you're a follower of Christ, you have a light, you have a spiritual gift, and it is to be exercised in some way for the glory of God. That was a side note. Verse 11, though, that's the context of where we're going. And then he says, so whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God, and whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so then all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. The way we live, again, the reflection of Christ to us, all that we say and do should reflect those things of Christ because of who he is. And then coming to the end, I feel like I've moved too quickly through this, but that's okay at this moment. We've talked about light. We've talked about we've been called to the light. We've looked very quickly at what that means. But what if we've come to a place where our light has faded? Maybe it has faded in your home. Maybe as a husband, you just haven't represented Christ very much. Maybe as a wife, you haven't represented Christ very much. Maybe as a grandfather, a father, or a mom, or a grandmother, or a neighbor, or whoever. We can list all those things. I feel like sometimes I need to. Maybe you just in the workplace, you just haven't represented Christ very much. Your light hasn't shined, or it has grown dim, or it has faded. You know that scripture that we just read in the beginning of our service today, Psalms 80. It talks about. I mean, what was it? It was, "O Lord God." There's three things there. Restore us. And cause your face to shine on us, and we will be saved. Oh, this restoring us. So don't we need restoration from time to time? I know we need it. First, in our beginning, if we've come to a place where we're living our lives and we don't know Jesus Christ, we need restoration. We need to be revived. We need to come to a place of new life, of new creation, of redemption. We need that. But even as we walk through life as followers of Christ, sometimes we need restoration. One of the things that we sung about here, talking about the drudgery of every day, and that's a reality. Some days we got things on the mountain and we got things that are just the drudgery of the valley. And sometimes in the drudgery of the valley, we can lose focus of the things of God. And we got to come to this place of restoration. How do we, when we've come to a place of saying, God, restore me, usually we've been walking away from him at some sort of angle, and then we're coming place and we're turning our face towards him and saying, Lord, restore me. Usually there's repentance. Lord, restore me because of this. Restore me because of that. Lord, I've sinned against you because of this. I haven't been doing that. I've been struggling with this. And that's just the reality of our life. When we come to a follower of Christ, it talks about being persevering. It's not easy. We're not perfect just because of it. That we've got to keep seeking him and learning him and growing. The things that we just read in the other passages, we keep growing in him. And part of that is coming to that place of realizing that, hey, we've messed up today. Or maybe we've been messing up the last 6 months, or we've just slowly faded away. And we come to that place and we say, Lord, I faded away. Lord, restore me. Oh, do you know what we've talked about his grace. Oh, it's because of his grace that we can pray that. Oh, and that's what he wants from all of us. And it's like driving. If you let go of the wheel, I mean, especially if your car's not aligned very well, you're going to drift. We sometimes got to make that little correction, and it's coming back and saying, Lord, here I am today. Lord, here I am today. Lord, here's your word. And then I had the struggle here. Lord, here's your word. I struggle here. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. It's a journey. It's an everyday seeking him. Of staying in the light of God. So we pray, and as we saw in this prayer, and it mentions it. We read 19. I just quoted 19 to you, and we read 19 in the beginning. But it's also in Psalms 80. It's mentioned in verse 3 and verse 7 and verse 19. And if you know anything about Hebrew scriptures, you know, or scriptures period, if it's mentioned three times in the same passage, it's important. It's important. Oh, Lord, so if we find our place, friends, and our light has faded, we come to a place, Lord, restore me. Restore me, Lord. And then there's that request, Lord, shine on us. Because it's through him, if there's any light, if we're any light in the world, it is only because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's because the light of men has come into our lives. And we will be saved. And you're like, well, I'm already saved. You're talking about losing our salvation? Friends, let's not go there. So many people like to. But it's about being delivered. Being delivered from my sin. It is restoring my fellowship with him. And that's important. Yeah, true. Our fellowship with God when we are lost, there is no fellowship with him. And the eternal thing says, hey, we're going to go to hell, essentially, if we don't know him. But then when we come saved, there is that fellowship with him. You've experienced that, and it's wonderful and great. And then as we're going through life, and things just kind of grow a little dimmer, and we begin to lose that fellowship when sin begins to rule our life, when darkness begins to sneak into our life, but then we come into that place of restoring that salvation. That's what it's talking about. And we're restored back into the right fellowship with God. Again, oh Lord, God, restore us and cause your face to shine on us, and we will be saved. The big idea today, whoever and whatever the light, Jesus, is and does, the believer is to be and do also. Sounds like something maybe Yoda would say. Now that I read it out loud to you. But whoever and whatever the light, which is Jesus, is and does, the believer is to be and do also. We are the light of men, or we are the light of the world only because Jesus is the light of men, and it is his truth that must live in us through the presence of his Holy Spirit, and that is a daily, sometimes minute by minute, journey and search from him. This is the balance of life. This is the balance of life. It's the balance of life. Seek me first, and everything else will be taken care of. Oh, is it a little bit of church, a little bit of work, a little bit of life, a little bit of hobby? No, it's 100% all Jesus, and everything is taken care of. Whoever and whatever the light Jesus is and does, the believer is to be and do also. We read that through his word and through prayer. So where are you today? Are you shining? Oh, then may God be glorified through your good works. Is your light kind of dim? Oh, I pray that you come to a place of repentance and restoration. But are you in darkness? Are you in darkness and you just wandered in here today? You've been in here a long time. I want to tell you that Jesus is the life and his life is the light of men. And I encourage you to repent and believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior.